Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. We have Sheikh Ramiz Ibrahim.
Let's do all the way. Say Sheikh.
What?
Is it Ustad? Sheikh is a Sheikh. People say, oh, he's a Sheikh now, is he? People are mad out there, trust me. I try and chop the head of the snake when it pops out of the ground.
Thanks. Okay. We'll put that in.
You say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. I'm here with, welcome to the Only Way Islam show. I'm here with Ustad Ramiz Ibrahim. As you, some many of you may know, he's a da'i and a counsellor, life coach, psychotherapist. He's been in the field of da'wah since 17, since he embraced Islam. I'm just here to understand his life story and how he came about to be in deen. That's it for us.
Thank you. I mean, he's just introduced himself. Thank you, brother.
So I'll teach you.
We'll take it from there.
I'll teach you the show,
no,
yeah?
That's fine.
All right, no problem. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. So would you be able to just tell us a bit about how you came to Islam and how, you know, about your life? Because I know you have a very
like
interesting...
Like everybody's story, it's a long one.
Okay.
Obviously,
I've... Well, we've got 5 minutes.
5 minutes, no problem. Well, alhamdulillah, I mean, being from a Turkish Cypriot background... You know, people ask me, you know, you're born Muslim. And we know, every child is born a Muslim. The hadith, Kama Kala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'd say no. I mean, I'm born Muslim, but I didn't grow up as a Muslim per se. Mm. You know, my mother would, not my father, my mother would say to me, you know, beware of Allah. You know, he's going to burn you. You know, Allah yakhajak sani, mean literally, Allah's going to burn you. So I grew up with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wouldn't say I grew up with the love of Allah or the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, you know, I would see in funerals, janazas, there women would cover up and would go to the graveyard, the imam would come, make a dua, things like that. You know, don't drink, don't smoke, you know, don't girlfriends, etc., etc. But I grew up with believing in Allah. I must admit that now. And every time I hurt myself, literally, I bang my head or something, I say, Allah, you know, you did that to me because I've done something bad or something like this.
So you're aware of it?
I was aware of it, yeah. Even though I was aware, it didn't stop me doing nonsense.
Yeah.
At the age of 24, 25, I said to myself, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to stop all the nonsense. And have and during that transition of 5 to 6 years, I started slowly, you know, dropping and leaving behind nonsense. It wasn't until 1986, when I was 17, I went to Turkey to see my uncle, and he taught me Fatiha and Qul Huwa Allah Ahad, sorry, class, and I went to the Jum'ah with him for four times, I was there for a month. Mm. When I came back, however, it wasn't until 1994 that some Pakistani boys helped me come to Jum'ah. Let's go. And I thought,
right, in England.
In England, yeah, London. And I went with them. And it wasn't new to me when I prayed with them and all that. And I said, Allah, you know, I'm here. And that was it. And then 1995, I was going to Australia to live with the Aborigines. Meaning I had enough of materialism. I had enough. I'm looking for myself. I'm looking for the way. I'm looking for a path. I'm looking for something. So I ended up in America, though, Camp America, in a Jewish camp there, and eating kosher food. I believed it purified my heart to the truth, and every night I would speak to Allah and say, Allah, open my heart, I've had enough now. And then it wasn't until 1996 where I got a job looking after a boy in a wheelchair, a Jewish boy in a wheelchair. Again, Camden Free School. I heard the rabbi speak about there's only one God, and I thought, yeah, this is true. I didn't lean towards Judaism. I didn't lean towards or that affiliation. I just, yeah, the one God. That's it. I believe that's true. That affirmed my belief in oneness, or tawhid for that matter. And then the funny thing is, I met a sister in college who I liked, and I was going to propose. That never happened. Mm. But as soon as I met her and I started speaking with her, I started reading the Quran. I went to the masjid across the road from my father's shop. Now, where I was living, there was a masjid and there was a road, and the masjid crossed the road. For 15 years that masjid was there, and I didn't enter it. I had no affiliation with it whatsoever. But after seeing the sister, I thought, you know, look at me.
Yeah.
And look at her, sort of thing.
She was practicing.
She was practicing, yeah. But it didn't work out. Yeah. But I continued. So in Islam, there's something called al-irshad or al-ilham, meaning that you get guided directly or by a person, etc. Mm. So that show, she inspired me, so to speak. Allah inspired me through her to read the Quran and
to go in this direction.
Get the directions. I read the Quran and continued. I started praying. I started going to lahya and everything, and then that was it, really.
Can you tell us a bit about what you've been doing since you've come into the deen?
I've been to Egypt to do a few programs called Ramadan Change Me, about life coaching, some programs in Ramadan, actually. Alhamdulillah, I met a few brothers that allowed me to do the da'wah. Now we're in Malawi doing da'wah for the sake of Allah.
Well, tell us a bit about Malawi and also your life coaching as well.
Well, look at the background of Malawi. The country itself is beautiful. It's lush. It's more lush than England.
Yeah. What have you been doing while you've been in Malawi?
Giving da'wah and making a few changes about myself.
Has it changed your life?
It's changed my life. And it's, I mean, my life's already changed from Al-Islam, alhamdulillah. And all these transitions and these excursions, I would say, toward my journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has allowed me to realize some home truths about myself. Being a counselor, I did it for myself first and foremost.
Yeah.
And I don't really like to hear people saying, I want to be a counselor because I want to help people. Mm. Because to be a good counselor, you have to help yourself first, have self-care first.
Mm.
And you can't be a candle. You can't be a candle helping, you know, giving light and heat, helping other people, and don't help yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in your life you meet are either takers and givers, or in between. Mm. And you've got to be a taker and a giver to have a balance. You give too much, you'll end up losing energy.
Mm.
You take too much, you'll burn out.
Mm.
So that's what my advice to people as well as Muslims is to know yourself, to develop yourself, and to up your game, and to recognize your weaknesses and strengths, as I have. I'm confident on the outside as an adult, but inside my self-esteem is like a child, and there's conflict sometimes, and my inner gets me into trouble sometimes, and my weaknesses get me in trouble sometimes, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for them, and other people to forgive me, and my confidence helps people, and I like myself in the sense that my good overpowers my bad, in the sense, and my bad is sometimes my bad camp, even though it's low, it can be potent, you know, and
check yourself before you wreck yourself. So you're saying this,
yeah, you're right? Saying, I've learned that here, and yeah. I know you told me it's a rap song,
yeah,
and I'm far too old for that, but really, Islamically.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in tune,
yeah.
And it's also self-developmentary, if there's such a word, I just coined it, is true.
Yeah.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
And this is muhasabah, this is the self-accounting. And once you self-account, you find something wrong with you, then you do islah. Yeah. You know, you rejuvenate yourself, islah and nafus.
Because ultimately we're going to die and we have to be prepared.
Yeah, and I always use the mirror option, and the people say it becomes a cliche now. Whenever I go, I say, look in the mirror, and after you've squeezed your spots and combed your hair, basically what I call vanity time, and vanity time the length of vanity time depends on the person.
Yeah.
You know, someone may need an hour in the mirror. Some people need 10 minutes, some people a minute. But after you've did the vanity time, is to look closer at yourself and ask, what's my purpose? Am I fulfilling my purpose?
Mm.
I know we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create man or a jinn except to worship me. So from that, use that as a foundation. Now what is worship? Find out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you.
Mm.
You have to pray five times a day. Islam is saying the Shahada, praying five times a day, fasting a month of Ramadan, paying zakat in due time, and doing hajj once in your lifetime in due time if you have the health and the means to do so. So how can someone say, I'm a Muslim, but I don't pray? No one says that, by the way, but they imply that through their action.
Yeah.
It's like you ask a brother.
There's actually a lot of people actually say that.
They do. Well, I don't know. I've never heard anyone say, I'm a Muslim, but I don't pray. Is that definition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is definition from your ego, from your nafs? For example, when I give lectures, I always ask brothers, why do you pray? Those of you who pray Jummah, why do you pray Jummah? And the answer that I get is because it's fard. But what about the five daily prayer, if that's your principle? So is it true what they say? I'm not judging. I'm just saying, you know, people have to really check this, what they speak, because people are not stupid. You know, and they shouldn't be implying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know I pray Jummah, Allah, but I'm not going to pray the five daily because I'm lazy. And I'll just do that enough to feel like I'm doing what I can. You know, I feel like I'm in I'm in the group of Muslimin, for example. But it's a very dire situation, a very, very dangerous situation. You know, they're walking on the edge, really, and they can fall off at any time.
So make sure you check it out. What's the website again?
www.aip-development.com.
Okay.
Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair. Thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us.
Jazakallah khair.